From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It is the 9 p.m. hour. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Download the podcast if you haven't gotten a chance. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. You can get it wherever podcasts are sold. We're not even going to sell it to you. We're just going to give it to you. That's how much we believe in this product. All right, download it, though. You can get it on Spotify, Apple, wherever. All right, later in this hour, I can't play this audio for you right now because my boss told me that it would be better if I played it late in the show. He goes, just play it as late as you can possibly play it. There is a topic that we're going to cover that's very, it's not risque. It's a part of life. Everybody has body parts. It's tough to even, like, tease ahead what this story is about because it's bizarre. We're going to talk about this at the end of this hour. So stay tuned for that. At the end of this hour, at the end of every show, I like to take the opportunity in the last segment to like share something that I really found interesting. This is definitely one of those things. It's bizarre. It comes to us from the UK. You're just going to have to tune in to find out what it is. It's still too early in the night for me to feel comfortable sharing this with you. It's still possible that you got some young kids around, so I don't feel comfortable sharing it right now, but in about 45 minutes, I'll be able to. All right. This was interesting. In Washington, according to the AAA, we have one of the worst state. We are one of the worst states for distracted driving. Did you guys know that? You can read this article right now on MyNorthwest.com. Mickey Gomez does a great job reporting on this. We're actually going to talk to Mickey in just a little bit. She's going to tell us what AAA found. And essentially what she found was we're distracted drivers in this state, like big time. Now you might think to yourself, what kind of distracted driving? The kind that I'm seeing constantly when I'm driving down the road, when I'm peering into people's cars next to them in traffic. What are they doing? Almost always, I'd say one in three people that I drive past now, which is a real problem. I don't know if that number is exactly accurate, but that's an estimation. Are looking at their phone or during the course of travel when they're driving. This is my own analysis and my own anecdotal evidence. I'm guessing that one in three people are probably looking at their phone at some point during their travels. Now, my phone, I don't know if your guys' phone does this, but my phone has this like road safety thing that this automatically kicks in. If I'm going over a certain speed, my phone knows it based on its, satellite something. I don't know how the technology works, but it knows that I'm driving. So it has this drive safe thing. So when I'm driving, my phone will not get any text messages. It will not get any alerts. It won't get, it won't ring to let me know that somebody's trying to call me. It will let me have nothing because it wants me to continue driving safe. Now, I think that's a really good thing. There's a couple people who I have deemed worthy to call me at any point, even when I'm driving. Like my wife can call me. My parents can call me. My kids don't have phones, so they can't call me. But they'll be with my wife, so they can reach me through her. Other than that, I don't get any calls, no alerts on my phone. You guys have this too, I'm sure, on your phone. Unless you turn it off, your phone has it. So how are we still so distracted as drivers? Since we now have these like safety things built into our phones, how are we still so distracted as drivers? Well, as it turns out, in our state, we are very, very distracted. Teenage drivers, not we, but teenagers in our state are very, very distracted when they're driving. And they are at their most distracted during a very obvious, predictable time, which is that when they are in the car with other teenagers who are not their family, it becomes very, very dangerous to a scary level. So Mickey Gomez is going to tell us about that. She's also going to help us figure out how do we avoid some of these situations? How can we make sure the people in our lives that we love, who might be younger or might not be the safest drivers, how can we keep them safe? How can we advise them to drive differently? We will talk all about that next. So stick around for that. All right. This was really funny. I referenced this earlier in the show. I want to play this audio again by popular demand. We had a lot of people texting about this. San Francisco just unveiled some new public toilets. Now, why is that news? Why do people even care that San Francisco has public toilets? Well, number one, I think most people just assume that in San Francisco, you just go in the street because that's what it smells like in San Francisco. But contrary to popular belief, that's not what you're supposed to do in San Francisco. They actually have public restrooms. And they just put one in originally back in 2022 when they were proposing this additional water closet, this public water closet. it was going to cost a lot of money. So much so that all these news organizations started highlighting it. They said, this is crazy. But of course, San Francisco is a crazy place. They would do something like this in San Francisco. Listen to this price tag. This is back in 2022. And I have a good update on this. I also have a why this reminds me of something that happened closer to home here in Seattle, which we will talk about all those things in just a minute. But listen to this crazy NBC News story from back in 2022 about a San Francisco toilet.
Noe Valley Town Square turned out to be a perfect spot to soak in the sun on this unusually warm day. But the city's price tag to build a 150-square-foot public restroom at the corner of the park is getting quite a few people a little heated.
It's crazy. It's just sort of an artifact of everything that's going crazy in the city. How can it possibly be $1.7 million?
There was actually supposed to be an announcement by state and local public officials here today proclaiming their success in securing the funding from the state. But they abruptly canceled it once word of the price tag got out.
Several people were hoping to attend the press conference and ask about the cost because everybody is amazed.
It sounds so fishy. And given that they were going to announce it here today and they just bailed, it just... so suspicious.
The only elected official who has responded to any of our questions about the project and the price tag is Assemblymember Matt Haney. He was able to get the $1.7 million from Sacramento, but he didn't want to speak on camera. Instead, he sent this message. I'll defer questions about the cost for the bathroom to Rec and Park. The cost also seemed shockingly high to me. They told me they couldn't build it for less, so if I wanted a public bathroom there, that's how much I had to deliver. We reached out to Rec and Park for a breakdown of costs. They have not responded.
Yeah, no kidding, because nobody wants to explain why you would spend $1.7 million on a toilet. If I was a government official, I'm not, obviously. I work in the radio, and I just talk about government officials. If I was a government official and somebody sent this to my desk, and they said, hey, Mr. Jake, that's what I would have everybody call me if I was in government. I'd say, Mr. Jake. So if you ever see me running for an office, I'm going to go by Mr. Jake. I'd say, Mr. Jake, we have that new recommendation for the toilet. But, oh, great, great, great. Yeah, we need those toilets out there in the public. Yeah, sure we do, sir. So they went ahead and they broke down what these toilets are going to cost. I'd say, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. People have just been peeing in the streets and going number two in the streets. It's better that we have a public toilet. And they would say, okay. So I say, can you hand me that itemized list? I want to see exactly how much it's going to cost. In my head, I'm a public official. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, everything's a little bit more expensive in government. It couldn't possibly be that much. So yes, maybe a public bathroom is going to cost $75,000, which seems kind of generous already, but maybe they could do it for that price. They then hand me this list and they say $1.7 million. I go, you're fired. Get out. You can't possibly, what? $1.7 million? How is this public official that they just highlighted here a second ago who didn't want to show his face on camera, like that's going to stop people from knowing who he is? How could he possibly sign off on that? $1.7 million for a toilet? Are you kidding me? All right, CBS, they have now highlighted the grand unveiling of these toilets. There was a public outcry. It did not cost $1.7 million. As it turns out, they could do it for cheaper. What? Yes, they could. When they were told to do it for cheaper, they somehow figured out how to do it for cheaper. So CBS was there yesterday to unveil the grand unveiling of these public toilets, which again in San Francisco, they're very excited about because again, people generally, if you just walked around San Francisco and just like, you know, smelled in the air, you just assume that people are going on the streets, which they are. But they do have toilets. They unveiled this one. How much did it cost? Oh, and they had a band. This is how excited they were. They had a jazz band. They literally had a party. People in this little community were so excited about this public toilet. Hundreds of people showed up to celebrate this public toilet opening. Can you imagine showing up to a public toilet grand unveiling? I guess you got nothing to do.
It's a celebration fit for the most infamous toilet, one that almost cost the price of a house.
Noe Valley, let's hear it for our... not $1.7 million bathroom.
So event organizers decided to have some fun with it. Everything toilet themed. Even this band renamed to American Standard, at least for the day.
We couldn't get Toto here, so.
Leslie Crawford organized a toilet bowl celebration at Noe Valley Town Square.
When everybody laughs at you, you got to take the power back and laugh at yourself.
Am I missing the reference there? Is Toto the, I mean, I know Toto's the name of a band, you know, like obviously it's a great band. Did Toto have a song about toilets, or is that a reference to toilets that I'm not getting? Like, is does they call Toto a toilet? I don't get it. Maybe it does. I don't know. Am I just displaying my stupidity here in the air? I don't know why she would make the Toto reference, but whatever. It's a great band. Maybe they just want Toto. So $200,000 is what they ended up spending on this toilet. $1.7 million was the estimated cost. They actually got the money from Sacramento, which is the, you know, the where they would get this from. That's the state capital of California. They end up getting $1.7 million for it, and then everybody goes, are you nuts? No, of course not. We cannot have a $1.7 million toilet. And again, it's not even a fancy toilet. It just looks like your garden variety average public toilet. Cinder blocks, metal toilet, metal sink, like polished metal for a mirror, because they don't want real mirrors in there because somebody's going to break it. Like, looks like a prison toilet is what it looks like. They end up building it for $200,000, which is a $1.5 million savings. That's a lot better. It did remind me, do you guys remember those self-cleaning toilets that we had here in Seattle? If you don't, it is a treat. Go back and find the story. Just look up self-cleaning toilets Seattle. I think it was around 2012, maybe. What the city did in all of their wisdom is they said, hey, you know what would be really great? What if we had toilets that clean themselves so we wouldn't have to clean them anymore? Because obviously public toilets tend to not be respected as much as your toilet in your house might be. So they got these really fancy schmancy self-cleaning toilets, like high tech for a toilet. And what the toilet did was, what it offered was really, really, like, it looked like it was really big, number one. Not the toilet was really big, but the area that you would go inside of was really, really large. Almost like, you know, you have like wheelchair accessible restroom areas, or like think of a porta potty that somebody could walk into or could go, you know, just like a big, but like three times the size of a porta potty. It was really, really big. Then what they also had inside these public toilets was the toilet itself was automatically cleaned by itself, if that makes sense. It was like a robotic toilet. So they had this little area. I don't know how the technology works, so I'm doing my best to describe it. But they had these little wipes that would kind of be dragged across on this machine. I don't know how it worked, but it would be dragged across the surface of the toilet, like the seat of the toilet, that would then automatically clean it anytime somebody left the toilet, because, you know, sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes they're, you know, sprinkles. People leave messes behind, which is disgusting, and people should clean it up. But when they didn't, the toilet would clean itself. At least it was supposed to clean itself. What they found that it was doing, though, was it was not cleaning. In fact, what it was just doing was dragging disgusting germs and mess and pee and number two and all the other stuff that might find its way into a restroom, you might say. Just dragging it across the surface of this toilet. It wasn't actually sanitizing anything. It wasn't cleaning anything. So it was way, way, way dirtier than the normal toilet. The problem was that these toilets, these self-cleaning toilets that Seattle installed, $1 million a piece. It was a big news story. Like, a lot of people talk. It was even internet. I think it was even national news. People talked about it. It was such an embarrassment. $1 million a piece. I believe they had five of them. So $5 million they spent on these toilets. They all had to be taken out, not only because they couldn't clean themselves, but they very, very quickly became gang activity areas where they would have like drugs. Drugs were being sold in these toilets because, you know, they're kind of nice and a place to get out of the weather. The other thing that happened is, you know, the oldest profession in the world was happening in these bathrooms. And so because they were, you know, they were single use only, single private bathrooms kind of. So you had prostitution happening in them. You had drug selling that was happening in them. You had, I assume there was pimping that was happening in them. Just all these bad, bad things. And they were really disgusting and dirty. And they cost a ton of money. So they were like five toilets for $5 million. You do the math, that's $1 million a toilet, which is embarrassing. And what they ended up doing was they took them out because they didn't work. And they, you know, were promoting prostitution, which is really a bad thing for toilets to do. And so they took them out and they tried to get rid of them. They didn't want to like take a total loss. There was $5 million they invested in these toilets. So what do you do with five toilets worth $1 million each? You put them on eBay, duh, which is what anybody would do. I'd put it on eBay, try to sell it, get a little bit of your money back. It did not work. Great. They originally listed them for a higher price. Nobody was interested. Somebody was watching and eventually bought these toilets. Five toilets originally priced at $5 million. What did they sell for? I think they sold for just over $12,000, like $12,000 and change on eBay. So the true value of these toilets, as determined by the market, was only about $12,000. What does the government pay? Well, they paid $5 million for them. Thankfully, in San Francisco, they were smarter. The public outcry, they did not pay $1.7 million for these toilets. It was only $200,000. So that's a lot better. Maybe they read our story here in Seattle and they just said, hey, you know what? We can't do that. We don't want to look like fools. Let's get this price down. All right, let's move on here really fast. Poor Alec Baldwin. Man, this guy's been going through a lot of stuff lately. And now he's in a coffee shop and he's confronted by a Free Palestine protester who just wants him to say two magic words and she'll leave him alone.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin. Free Palestine, Alec, just one time and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to stand there as this person's just in your face? Just say exactly what I'm telling you to say. And if you say it, sounds like kind of like bribery or blackmail. If you say it, then I'll leave you alone. But if you don't say it, I'm going to sit here and keep annoying you and filming you until you say it.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel. Zionism. Please say it. One time.
So Alec Baldwin is not a man to be messed with. And so what Alec Baldwin does at the end of, I mean, he put up with it for like 50-something seconds. I mean, like, you got to give the guy credit. Feel how you might about Alec Baldwin. Obviously, he's done a lot of stuff that a lot of people wouldn't. But Alec Baldwin finally couldn't take it anymore from this person. It's unclear if he hits the phone out of this person's hand or if he hits the person themselves. I don't know. But the video shuts off and I think knocked the phone out of their hand. Alec Baldwin, oh my gosh. Do you remember this guy in Hunt for Red October? Such a good movie.
You wish to add something to our discussion, Dr. Ryan?
Well, sir, I was just thinking that perhaps there's another possibility we might consider. Ramius might be trying to defect.
Do you mean to suggest that this man has
proceed,
come...
Mr. Ryan.
Ramius trained most of their officer corps, which would put him in a position to select men willing to help him. And he's not Russian. He's Lithuanian by birth, raised by his paternal grandfather, a fisherman. And he has no children, no ties to leave behind. And today is the first anniversary of his wife's death.
Oh, come on. You're just an analyst. What can you possibly know what goes on in this mine?
I know Ramius, General. He's nearly a legend in the submarine community. He's been a maverick his entire career. I actually met him once at an embassy dinner. Have you ever met Captain Ramius, General?
No, of course he's never met Captain Ramius. That movie is so good. The soundtrack, everything, just fantastic. Sean Connery, come on, this isn't getting any better than that. All right, we have a lot coming up this hour. It's going to be a lot of fun. Next, we're going to talk to Mickey Gomez. She's going to tell us about distracted driving, what you can do to keep your family safe. And at the end of the hour, I wish I could tease this more. I wish I could, like, explain to you what we're going to talk about. It's just uncomfortable, but it's also very interesting. I don't want to say it's funny because I don't want to laugh at somebody else and how they were. I don't even know how to describe it. But we're going to talk about it at the end of the hour. So stick around for that. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
Sign up for Mariner's Mail to receive pre-sale offers, exclusive content, and more directly to your inbox for free. Mariner's Mail subscribers get first dibs on all the latest ticket news and action from T-Mobile Park. Go to mariners.com/insider to join the club today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
G and Ursula on Cairo News Radio.
The giant new graffiti on the medians and the concrete walls.
Did somebody strap you down and spray paint you in your life? What'd they do to you, Ursula?
9 to noon, streaming live on your smart speaker. You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I want to talk to you guys about something very important. You might even be experiencing this right now if you're listening and driving in your car, although I hope you're not and you're being safe. Just actually don't pull out your phones. Don't do any of that. Just listen to the calming, soothing sounds of my voice as we tell you what horrible drivers are surrounding you right now. Mickey Gomez joins us right now. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
All right. You have an article on MyNorthwest.com that the headline jumped out at me. What's the headline of this article?
Yeah. So AAA. Washington is one of the worst states for distracted driving.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, as soon as I read that, it was like kind of a confirmation bias. I just assumed that that was the case because I really feel like every time I'm driving down the road here, every time I look in somebody else's car, I see them on their phones. Like, you know how it catches your eye? Do you see this all the time?
Yes. Guilty party of one.
Oh no. You do this?
Yeah. I didn't know, Jake, that I do it as often as my kids have pointed out.
Kids are good. They see everything.
Mom, get off your phone. Mom. Yeah. And I'm like, I need direction. Give me the phone. So, I'm like, okay, here you go.
So was this a study that AAA was doing?
Yeah, listen.
How do they come up with these numbers?
So AAA Washington research found that when teens are driving with other teens in the car, and that could be anyone 20 and under, if they get into a crash, the rate of fatality for everyone involved increases by 51%.
What?
Yeah. That is the data, and that is jarring. And as a mom of a teen
increases by 51% if they were on their phones?
No, just increase. No. The danger for teens driving is other teens in the car with them.
Got it. Okay. So you may not even be distracted as the driver. You might just have other people on their phones in the car, and that's distracting to a driver?
Yeah. Especially a teen driver, because they don't have a lot of experience driving.
Yeah. They don't know how to like block stuff out and just focus on the road.
Or
for you and
dancing,
me, it's second nature.
Or they're changing the song, or they're changing the station, or one of their friends is like, look at this video, or speeding or running a red light, just being distracted.
You know, the scary thing about this as a parent, and you're a lot closer to dealing with this than I am. You have teenage kids now, right?
I do.
Do either of your kids drive yet?
My 16-year-old is about to start driver school, and we've talked a lot about...
Yeah, how are you going to deal with that?
With a lot of medication. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know, Jake. I really don't know. I've got what I call the tank, which is my Jeep, right? We drive a Jeep, but I feel like our Jeep is pretty safe for him. However, we're not going to allow him to get on highways. He's not allowed to have any other passengers, only his sister.
And that's a rule, too,
that,
I believe,
that
right?
That is a law,
That's
actually.
A law. They can't have... And what is that law? You'd probably be more familiar with
it. So the law is that teen drivers aren't allowed to have any other teen passengers in the car with them.
Who
are not family. Correct. And so we're only allowing our son to drive in our neighborhood, even though he'll have a license. It's only in the Burien, Normandy Park, Kent, Des Moines area.
Yeah.
When he's older, then we'll experience I-5... 509.
I think that's a great idea.
405. For now, it's just school, work.
When he's by himself, you guys can take him around and train him. You can get on freeways like you have to do.
Absolutely. But when he's older,
yeah.
I'm worried about him only because I'm a mom by nature. The kid is very responsible. He keeps a clean room.
Great.
He does the dishes, he does his laundry. But same time, he's still a teen. He's not equipped to make those quick and fast judgments that you and I can make when we're driving and we avoid an accident.
Essentially, we're experts. We've been doing, I've been driving for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so I've got a lot of time behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I've seen every situation. I've driven every different kind of vehicle. And so, you get more comfortable doing it.
Even Mount Rainier is a distraction. Yesterday, I was driving home. The sun is out. That means the mountain is out. As soon as I'm on I-5 southbound and I get to Michigan Street, Corson Ave, boom, there's Mount Rainier. I'm looking at Mount Rainier. I'm not looking at traffic. But when I look back at the road and I only took my eyes off for a couple of seconds.
That's all it takes.
Boom, traffic is already backed up. People are stopping and I have to hit my brake.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if I were a teen driver and I wasn't paying attention?
No, and it scares the heck out of me. Like I was kind of hoping, mm-hmm. and I don't know if this is going to be the case. I mean, my oldest kid is only 9 years old, so I've got a few years left. But I was kind of hoping that by the time that they started driving, we would just be in driverless cars.
Okay.
And that we would all be just like, okay, you're ready to go to the store. You're going to go to a friend's house. You just type it into your phone and it takes you there. And you essentially sit in the back seat in a protective bubble. But that's not realistic. That's not the world we're going to live in.
I mean, they already have cars that do that. Waymo has cars that do that for us right now, but they're still.
It's not the world I actually want, though. Do I actually want cars to be driving us everywhere?
No.
Because I remember that feeling when I was a teenager of getting behind the wheel for the first time, the freedom that I felt.
Yeah.
Even in my crappy car. What was your first car, by the way?
Oh my gosh, a Dodge Omni.
What is it? What is it? Even is a Dodge Omni?
They don't make them anymore.
Is that a four wheel I assume it's got four wheels.
It had four wheels, two doors. It was one of those teeny tiny cars made by Dodge. My car payment was $100 a month.
Sweet.
And I would drive it to and from school and work. And it was, I paid for my own car. I paid for my own insurance.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's what you did back in the day.
Yeah. So listen, AAA is asking, I have to say this before we wrap this up, because, I think it's important for parents and for teens. AAA is asking for parents and teens to take the pledge. It's an online platform with Safe Drive Club. It's to encourage drivers to promise not to drive distracted. And my son and I are going to be joining because I just think it's a good practice, right? And I want my son to feel confident when he's behind the wheel.
Yes.
And I want to worry less.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but.
You know what? Phones these days, they automatically know when you're driving, so they can you can turn the safe driving on, make sure that every time you start moving, safe driving kicks on. You don't get text messages, you don't get calls, you don't get nothing. So I think that's a huge help for kids.
I'm going to download that app for myself.
And if you got an iPhone, it's already in your phone, built in. All you got to do is like switch it on. And then it's just about training your kids to, really remind them, it's horrible to have to subject your kids to like fear and stuff, but to show them like, listen, distracted driving, people die every single day, especially, and it's usually people who are young.
And I report it, modeling, good parental modeling is so important and I've got to get better at it. My kids are calling me out. I'm listening. I'm putting my phone away and I'm driving and I'm paying more attention now.
I have to say really fast, this is an awkward segue, but very, very quickly, my first car was a maroon Jeep Cherokee with gold rims, which was like not cool back in the day. But to me, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm driving a magic carpet. Like, you know, like the feeling of your Dodge yes. Omni. You're driving around, you're just like, this is a magic machine. And you know what? Like, I count myself fortunate now that I did not have all the technology available to me that kids have these at their fingertips. I mean, these are super distractors for kids. So yeah, that scares the crap out of me as I look down the road and see that I have four boys. You know, I'm a father of four boys now. And someday all those kids are going to be driving cars. And I'm going to need to make sure that they are safe. When I was a kid, I don't even think my windows like successfully rolled up and down. I mean, I guarantee you on one side of my car, passengers on the passenger side of my car, they were not going to be able to use the windows. That's just not technology that I had at the time because it was originally supposed to be electric, but somewhere along the line, that car just started breaking down, falling apart. So I could get my window up and down halfway, and that's all you really needed. All right, that's Mickey Gomez. Thank you so much for coming in. If you want to, check out the article on mynorthwest.com. You can see all the stuff there, the AAA, all the good info there. And please be safe. Be a safe person when you're out there driving. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dave Ross on Seattle's Morning News.
It was a traffic miracle, and what made this miracle possible was the presence of traffic officers, professionally trained human beings.
Weekdays 6 to 9, streaming live on your smart speaker. You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show tonight. I just want to say this. Before I get into this ridiculous topic, which I've been teasing for a little bit now, and I couldn't even tell you what the topic was about, and now that we're here, for those of you who have stuck around and who have been listening, I can't even say the word that the topic's about. So you're just going to have to read between the lines, and I'm going to tell you about it in just a second. But first, I want to start by saying thank you guys for listening to the show tonight. We have had a blast doing the show for you guys, as we have every single night. If you get a chance, if you didn't have a chance to listen to the first 2 hours of the show, shame. Boy, have you missed out. But don't feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't lose sleep over it. Just download the podcast. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim, wherever podcasts are sold. And get it on Spotify, Apple, whatever phone you use. We're going to make it available for you. And the price is right. We're not even going to charge you for it. That's how much we believe in this product. All right, I'm going to play you this audio. This is uncomfortable. I'll be honest. This is uncomfortable for me to talk about with you. And I hope my mom isn't listening because I would never tell my mom this story, but you guys are not my mom. So I feel confident telling you this story. But I also felt so nervous about telling this story that I actually asked my boss. I said, hey, what editorially can I tell the story? And his advice was, if you're going to tell the story, can you please just tell it late? I just don't want to get any phone calls and I don't want the FCC to come down on us for any reason. So in Britain, there's a guy whose name is Matt Barr. He's 40 years old, and he was on their version of the Today Show. It's called This Morning, Today, and it's on ITV, which is Britain's morning show. Matt Barr has a very difficult thing that he has had to deal with in his life. It has made some situations for him very awkward. It's made relationships with the women that he might be interested in his life uncomfortable at times. I don't know how to describe what, I don't know. I'm not even comfortable saying that he's suffering from anything, but Matt Barr is known for having something very specific, and he has something that's larger than average. And in Britain, apparently they say he's got the largest of this specific body part. And I feel uncomfortable even saying that, but I mean, I'm just trying to report the news. Here's Matt describing his problem on ITV.
People will make fun of you or, you know, for being a freak, whatever the element is, even if it's something that's beneficial in life in some ways.
Yeah.
It is not what people want.
Yeah.
You want to just be normal. And when you're not, it's an easy point, especially when I was a very shy kid, so it was not easy to fit in.
Yeah. And you kind of want to dispel this myth, essentially, that bigger isn't always better.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, besides the practical issues, I think it does come... A lot of the things people think about, oh, it's more virile, you know, you're more manly or stuff. Again, these are just myths you get because the people who are braggy about it often are, a lot of times people are black about it, it's overcompensating, for example. Or...
Yeah.
Have you taken a guess at what Matt's talking about? I don't even know if it's if I'm allowed to say the word. I mean, I think I can say the word. It's a body part. I'm not going to say the word. You can fill in the blank. You know what the word is. But apparently, he was born with a... you know, this is a problem for him. He's got a, this is not a joke. It's a big problem for him, actually. And he says that it has hurt some of the relationships that he's been in. He's had a tough time meeting women. And he says it's difficult when he tries to meet people because he says it's not the kind of thing that you can really just spring on people as a surprise. Because he says if you do, you just kind of scare people away generally. And it makes it very hard for to talk about this with people.
Yeah. Or they just, you know, they want to promote themselves doing adult work where that is a selling point.
Sure.
But it's not, again, it's not.
In everyday life.
In everyday life, it's not. And it's for the normal person who has that, well, again, not normal at this size, but it wouldn't be beneficial.
If you, I don't know, I feel kind of uncomfortable giving you a lot of details about the size of this guy's things. But what I mean, the reason I'm highlighting this is number one, whatever. It's like it's a story that caught my attention. And so I was like, oh, I'm interested. The world is an interesting place, isn't it? Isn't the world an interesting place? One of the hosts on the ITV Good Morning Show, they asked him, they said, hey, have you considered maybe doing some sort of a... surgery to minimize, kind of a reduction surgery. And Matt went on to explain, he says, listen, like, yes, I've looked into this. This is an issue, but it's really expensive. It's about 15,000 pounds, which is a lot of money. This is not the first time I've actually heard of one of these reduction surgeries. Believe it or not, I've heard of it before. Have you guys seen the movie Waiting for Guffman?
Because when Ron had his surgery.
All right, all right, all right.
When Ron had his surgery, I said.
What surgery did he
have? Nothing. I had a little minor corrective surgery. Can we have some coffee at this table, please?
It's not minor anymore.
Well, maybe, you know, we should change the subject.
It's.
I had what, you know, most guys would dream of, you know. I had to have a reduction surgery.
I'm sorry?
Reduction. Which there aren't many. You're going to say I never heard of that because there haven't been many cases.
Wow. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, thank you for letting me share that story with you. On Cairo Nights, you get really important news. And this is the kind of stuff that we also focus on this kind of stuff. So whatever. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful night. But for right now, it's late. We got to get going and get some sleep. Night-night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.